Grace to you and peace from God our Father, who sent His Son, who died and rose again for us all. And in the name of the dear Holy Spirit as well, who brings these truths to all of us to trust the name of Jesus for our salvation. Dear Christian friends, we meditate today on one verse from Paul's last letter at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Most of it printed in your worship folder. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. This is my gospel. The word of the Lord, we pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Christ crucified and risen, dear joyful Christians, do you remember what the angels said to the women at the empty tomb of our Lord Jesus in Luke's gospel account that we read before? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has been raised. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again? Then they remembered his words. Your memory can be a blessing or it can be a curse. Years ago, a woman was saying to her husband, no one here at this time, so don't worry, bragging about how she could remember everything, just everything. And he finally just said to her, 90% of it you should forget. To her credit, she thought a moment and said, so true, so true. I know a woman who was estranged from her daughter for many years and got Alzheimer's. The daughter kept visiting her and her husband, and she couldn't remember anymore that the woman was her daughter. Nicest lady just keep showing up to see this woman, and she was so glad that that lady kept on coming. Because if only our memories would grab hold of the good things and let go of the bad. The doubt, the fear, the guilt, the hurt. Some that came to us and some that we've caused to others. Your memory can be your greatest enemy or it can be a tremendous blessing. In this last letter of the Apostle Paul, an older man now, probably to a middle-aged pastor, Timothy, he's talking all about memory. Because this is the last time Timothy will hear from him. And Paul is facing martyrdom. He realizes that he's being poured out like a drink offering to the Lord. He won't get out of this one. What's he thinking about those last hours as he writes this letter? He's remembering that ever since his youth, Timothy had a problem, which you and I understand. It's wrapped up in the name, Timothy. The timid one. He had problems with memory and present and what might happen in the future. But Paul, he had problems with memory from the past. And those memories could have destroyed him. But remember Jesus. There, my dear friends, is boldness against guilt. He'll be very honest about back when he was Saul of Tarsus and when he was trying to stomp out the name of Jesus, especially Jesus of Nazareth, as an imposter, and everybody who followed him as well. until Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. You may remember that story. And suddenly, this flaming Pharisee named Saul of Tarsus realized how wrong he was. Because Christ is risen. And now Saul knew it. Especially because Jesus is the name that means Savior. And Jesus saved him from his sins. And gave him a beautiful evidence of that forgiveness by making him Paul, the missionary to us Gentiles, so that we non-Jews too could gather for centuries and praise the name with a good memory. The name that the angel said to stepfather Joseph, call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus Christ. Christ gives us boldness against doubt. Here my inner skeptic just has to stop and listen. All those references to the ancient Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Over and over again the prophets talking about him coming, this hope of Israel. Until finally in the Jordan River, when the sky was torn apart and the Spirit came down like a dove and rested on him, and that thunderous voice from heaven said, this is my Son, with him I am well pleased. The Christ, there, in his baptism, was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. So when he said to his disciples, because I live, you too shall live, he had the power not only to raise himself, but the power to raise all of us who put our trust in him. In that same 1 Corinthians 15 resurrection chapter I read from before, it's a long chapter, but all the way down in verse 57, Paul writes again, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory of Easter memory over our doubt. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. What strikes fear into the hearts of people more than death? We even have that old saying, remember, nothing is certain except death and taxes. Death comes to everyone. And the continuous march shows itself in our aging bodies and the sickness that we feel and tragedies that strike and loss even of little ones. Death is there again and again. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, because this is boldness against death itself. Look at all the world's religions. Look wherever you want. They all forget the Easter message because they all keep telling the followers, do and do and do. And they forget, and sometimes deliberately, that the Holy Spirit says through the Holy Apostle, by observing the law, no one will be justified. The law makes us conscious of sin. Sins like doubt and fear and forgetfulness when we have no excuse. Sins like the disciples thinking it was nonsense when the women came back and told them that they had heard from the angels he was alive. And even those that saw him were considered foolish by those who kept on doubting. He appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, to the 12, to 500 brothers at the same time, to James, to the apostles, and finally to Paul himself. 40-day period, one proof after another, on top of all the proof that this is the Christ. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Think again about all the world's religions. They all had venerated religious authorities that people followed and sometimes were willing to die for, especially if there was money and power involved, the advancement of their kingdoms. But this one, had followers who got nothing but death and persecution from following him, especially in the first centuries. And what's so different about this Christian faith that none of the others can say? All those venerated leaders died. To this day, many followers go on pilgrimages to honor them, and they are nothing but dust and ashes. Only your Christian faith has the empty tomb. The tomb that had been sealed by the Roman soldiers and the authorities who wanted to make sure that everybody forgot about that body in the grave while it decayed, they thought. The apostles that just kept on forgetting his words. And the Jewish religious leaders that persecuted anybody who remembered what he said or remembered the Lord Christ. But remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, because his tomb is empty. There has never been a group of people like the non-believers who had more reason to find a body than those who for 2,000 years have denied the Easter story. It would be so easy to disprove it. And your Christian faith is the only faith in the whole wide world that keeps encouraging people to try to disprove it. And the only one that deals with doubts and fears that we all have to take us back with an Easter memory, a healthy memory, that Paul could write to his friends in Philippi and say, forgetting what is behind, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. This upward call of God, this grip of the Holy Spirit that brings you back and again to those wonderful promises, that joyful Easter memory that simply cannot forget. All that God said was coming and all that God fulfilled in the Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Now there is boldness against fear if there ever was. It's not mentioned again in the New Testament, though there are hints enough to show the same Holy Spirit wrote both Old and New Testaments. But you remember David the king, 1,000 years before Christ, when his power went to his head, committed adultery, tried to cover it up with murder, would have died in unbelief if the Lord had not sought him out with the prophet Nathan and brought him to repentant faith, as the Lord wants to do for all of us. Just to let us be honest about our sin and honest about our Savior. To remember Jesus, the descendant, the seed of David. Because David repented. Not in remorse like Judas. That's not repentance. That's despair and suicide. But repentance like Peter, who wept bitterly. David was sorry for his sin and trusted that a Messiah was coming. In fact, we call him Great David's Greater Son. And I love the way the Holy Spirit brings this together in the two genealogies of Jesus. In Matthew, the legal line through stepfather Joseph. David and Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Son Solomon and all the kings in the legal line. And then in the bloodline through the Virgin Mary in Luke chapter 3. David, the woman who had been the wife of Uriah, and Nathan, named after the prophet that brought him to repentance. Is that not a powerful Easter memory? That the Lord would recognize sinners in the genealogy of Jesus Christ from this couple. They cross in the middle and down to remember Jesus, the seed of David. One of my favorite paragraphs comes from a book called 11 Divine Portraits of Jesus the Messiah, published by Eugene Kaufelt's son. But just this paragraph, it says so much. What God had foretold about the coming seed had to be fulfilled in Jesus of the New Testament if he was indeed the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. He had to come from the descendants of Noah's son Shem. He did. He had to come from the descendants of Abraham. He did. He had to come from the tribe of Judah. He did. He had to come from the family of David. He did. He had to have a virgin, you could say the virgin mother. He did. He had to have a birthplace in Bethlehem. He did. He had to have both a human and divine nature. He did. He had to spend most of his ministry in Galilee. He did. He had to live and die according to his human nature as a perfect human sacrifice. He did. He had to live and die as God's divine seed, that through death he might be the tree of life for all and bear much fruit. The fruit being the sum total of all who believe in him. All that he did. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. This is my gospel, Paul said, and this is the gospel for everyone who trusts in him. He's so concerned about Timothy's memory, he keeps on reminding him. A few more verses from 2 Timothy 1. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did, Paul writes to Timothy, with a clear conscience as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. You hear the memory of Easter bringing on that boldness of the gospel there? Don't be timid, Timothy. Witness your faith to the world at every chance you get. So do not be ashamed of me to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Realize that? Before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Dying, ready to be martyred, giving up everything, but giving up nothing, because he remembers in everything he has Christ. And Christ in everything is his. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. This is my gospel. This is boldness to suffer. This is boldness to witness. In the 1930s, Joseph Stalin was hammering countries into the Soviet Union, including Ukraine. He wanted them all under the hammer and the sickle of communism. So a man named Bukharin was dispatched from Moscow to Kyiv to gather together a large audience of Ukrainians, mostly, probably Russians in there too. And Bukharin took the stage and proceeded to, with a huge battery of reasons for one faith which he was willing to acknowledge. Atheism. Yeah. Nobody's born an atheist. Nobody dies that way in either. but he was demanding it. Atheism under the hammer and the sickle of Moscow. For an hour, Bukharin hammered and ridiculed and used every rational argument he could think of against all those Christians who would dare to believe, or anybody who would believe in God for that matter. And then looked out on the audience, surveying what he thought must be smoldering ashes, nothing left of faith. "Are there any questions?" he demanded. One man stood up, alone, asked to speak. Came up on the platform next to the communist, in fact, stood quite close to the communist, and looked out over the crowd, all silent at the time, and then shouted in the orthodox ancient greeting, "Christus Anesti!" And like one man, the whole crowd jumped to its feet and shouted back, "Aethos Anesti!" You know what they said. You know the thunder. "Christ is risen."
"He is risen."
No, it was thunder. "Christ is risen."
"He is risen."
Hallelujah. Amen.